Good morning. Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 and 3. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all the kingdom, and also put it in writing, saying, "Who is among you of all the Lord's people? May his God be with him. And let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is God, which is in Jerusalem." Is your journey from womb to tomb, or from tomb to womb? We probably don't remember it, but every one of us has been in our mother's womb and come out to life in this world. And we will go to a tomb, unless the world ends first. That's the order for this world, womb to tomb. But is that really the order that you want to follow? So that your end, and in that sense, the goal of your life, is the tomb? Now, you probably say right away, that's not my goal. So what is your goal? What's your heart set on? A game? A date? Hanging with friends? Making money? Those can all be fine things, but in themselves, they are just the order of this world, journeying from womb to tomb. But the Lord turns the table on the order of this world. His order is to bring us out of the tomb into the womb of his grace. For 70 years, Israel had been in the tomb of the Babylonian captivity, dooming them to national extinction. They had no capacity to overthrow the bonds forged upon them by Babylon, the greatest empire the world had known. Israel had needed that tomb of the Babylonian captivity so that the Lord might bring them forth into life in his grace. Their situation is just one demonstration of what we heard yesterday. How sin's death hits us all in the face in so many different ways. All sinners need to enter that tomb of our sin's death so that the Lord might bring us out through the womb of his grace. And so the Lord began Project Bethlehem Life. The tomb of Israel's dead bones became the womb of their rebirth by the life-giving word of God. The decree we heard in our text given by Cyrus was no coincidence. The Lord had foretold it through Jeremiah and Isaiah. And behold, the marvel, it was 70 years beforehand that the Lord declared by name Cyrus would be the midwife of Israel's rebirth. Cyrus wasn't even alive at the time. Persia was an unknown hill tribe. But in the Lord's time, he brought Persia forth to overthrow mighty Babylon and to bring to pass in Bethlehem all the promises of our Savior. And so even as Israel is held firmly in the icy grip of sin's death, the Lord promised them, "My thoughts toward you are not evil, but of peace, to give you a future and a hope." By grace, his word, alive with power, then also brought the command, "Build my temple." And his word brought Project Bethlehem to life out of death. And so it came to pass. Our Lord was born in Bethlehem. And he went to the temple that he might bring each of us into the eternal temple of our Lord. And yet, doesn't the necessity that God had to become man to save us from our sins demonstrate that in our sinfulness, we are dried up bones in a spiritual tomb, unable to do anything in ourselves to save ourselves? How often doesn't the stench of that tomb fill our thoughts with anger, resentment, bitterness at what other people have done? How often doesn't the rigor mortis of that tomb stiffen our will so that we are dead set against doing what we know is right, if we'll admit it? How often doesn't the decay of that tomb eat away at our living for Jesus? So we say, sure, Jesus died for me, but you know, we've got to get back to living in this world and enjoy the possessions and pleasures and privileges and prestige, or at least the newest video game. Our sinful nature would follow the order of this world, womb to tomb. And though we by nature are blind to it, if we allow that tomb to have dominion over us, then we are accepting it as the outcome of our life. As with Israel, God's project Bethlehem is meant to change the order of our life, bringing us out of that tomb into life in his grace. Yeah, we need to experience the tomb of our sinful nature so that we see ever anew the glory of his grace as the only womb of life, the only goal that is life. To deliver us from that tomb into life, God didn't send an army. He didn't send an athletic dream team. He didn't send a swing party. He sent his word. Games, friends, fun, family, they can all be gifts from God, given in order to serve his word, his grace, not vice versa. His word shines with the miracle of naming Cyrus 70 years beforehand and carrying it out. His word shines with naming his son born of a virgin 700 years beforehand and carrying it out. His word shines with naming the forgiveness of all of your sins 4,000 years before your Savior actually came and bought you with his own blood and righteousness. His word shines with Jesus breaking forth from his tomb that he might bring you into the womb of life in his grace. God's order is from the tomb into the womb. So die to sinful worldliness that you may live in his grace to build his temple. Journey from the tomb into the womb of his grace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Hymn 462, we'll sing stanzas 1 through 3 and 7. 1 through 3 and 7.